Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanishing Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is episode 145, season 6. Today's date is July 5th, 2022. And thank you for joining me today. I have an interesting show coming up. Today's show will be about the Diver Den TV show. Oh boy, one of the goofiest shows I have ever watched, and I think anyone who grew up in Chicago will agree with me. Oh boy, I will talk about its history and the cast of characters and my memories of it. Also, I will talk about a CTA bus route, the Chicago Transit Authority, of course, of the Route 41 Elston-Clybourne route. And that's an interesting bus route. Talk about how it started and my memories of this bus route. Should be a lot of fun. And right now, I will go into a commercial break. This program is brought to you by McDonald's Arctic Orange Shake. Oh boy, I missed this one. And here's a commercial from 1976. Enjoy, everyone. Thank you.
If the heat's been getting to you, get on over to McDonald's and cool off with an Arctic Orange Shake. Triple thick, frosty, orange, and delicious. For a change in the weather, try an Arctic Orange Shake.
McDonald's, we do it all for you. At McDonald's.
Alrighty, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Arctic Orange Shake from McDonald's. It's no longer made. I don't think McCafe makes it. I don't think so. I don't know. I don't drink. I drink coffee, but not the fancy one over there. That was introduced in the summer of 76. I remember that very well. I was about 12 years old at the time. And remember the commercials, and particularly that one that I just played now. And that features a young Dennis Quaid, you know, the actor. Yeah, he did a lot of commercials before he went into movie stardom. And I don't know when it discontinued. Probably not. I'm not sure exactly. I don't want to say, you know, but it has been around for a while. And I like the shake. It was good. Nice and frosty, refreshing, because I love orange. So that was good. McDonald's still has Shamrock Shakes, but only around St. Patrick's Day, which is my favorite. I love it. And it's very good. And a long time ago, they had in the early 70s, blueberry. They had blueberry. I remember that. That was very brief. So maybe if I find a commercial for that, I'll put it on my next podcast episode. That'd be interesting. Anyway, at the beginning of the program, I will discuss for this episode of the Diver Den TV show. It was very not animated. It was like puppets, talking fish, and a Diver Den, and also the CTA bus route, Elston-Clybourne bus route, that is. I know I'm talking double stuff like that. I hate that because I'm a little nervous. Excuse me. I want to mention one thing before I get started. Somebody made a comment that I cough too much at previous shows, and I apologize for that. I know I have a very dry throat. I've been drinking a lot of water, and it's the weather. When it's hot or I'm in the air-conditioned house, it makes my throat dry, and I cough, so I apologize. I'll be very careful. I will not cough in the microphone. I'll stop recording and cough. I promise. I'll do my best, and you know. Like I said, you know, if you have any comments or concerns, please let me know. I will do my best to put on a good show for you people. Just, I'm doing my best. Thank you. Okay. Right now, I'll talk about the Diver Den TV show. I will talk about his history and also my memories and also the cast of characters. So here we go. And the show premiered around 1960. And it was syndicated all over the country. And it was about The length of the show was 7 minutes long, and it was a live action show. And but when it was syndicated, I think they sometimes they put it together like in a half an hour or maybe 50 minutes. I don't know. It depends on the station. And let's see. And it featured an adventures of a diver. He was wearing an old-fashioned diving suit and was underneath the sea talking to passing fish. And it was filmed in live action with puppet fish, and the underwater effect was shooting through an aquarium. That's how they did it. Okay. And how Diver Dan, you know, how it got started or created, it was a cartoonist named J. Anthony Furlane. And it was based on a comic strip called Fish Tales. And it was from Philadelphia. And he was also art director. And then he got this idea of creating the TV show. The cast was consists of an actor called the name of Alan Swift. I think he was an actor. I think, yeah, he was a voice actor, and he also did the voice characters for the TV cartoon Underdog. He did Simon. Do you remember him? I think that's his name. I forgot. Yeah, Simon Bar-Sinister. Excuse me. I haven't watched the show in a long time. I love the show. And also Riff Raff. He did the voice. And let's see. Who played Diver Dan, he was somebody named Frank DeFrida. And he was a playwright. And he did some commercials, and he also played Ronald McDonald in that. He was, I think he was from the Philadelphia area. And he made a lot of commercials. And also, he was there's a little trivia about him. He was a pioneer in sales of the cell phone of the HBO cable TV company. So he sold his first car cell phone in New York for $20,000. That's a lot. Also in the cast was Miss Minerva, the mermaid. And she's portrayed by Suzanne Turner. I don't know what happened to her. She just disappeared. You know, I don't know if she did any other acting roles on that. So the human cast characters was Diver Dan and Miss Minerva, and also the captain. He was heard, but not seen. Okay. So the rest were the fishes. So I'm going to read all these cast of characters of fishes. But first, I'm going to play the theme song of Diver Dan. So this will be fun. So it'll take you back to a beautiful time when we watched this in the early days of Chicago television. So here's the theme song for Diver Dan. Enjoy, everybody.
Below in the sea, there's adventure and danger. That's where you'll find Diver Dan. The sights that he's seen are surprising and stranger than ever you'll see on the land. He moves among creatures of frightening features, flashing teeth, flashing jaws, flapping and snapping claws. He protects and he saves his friends under the waves. That's where you'll find Diver Dan.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the theme song for Diver Dan. I love the theme song. It's great. Okay, let's see. Right now, I'm going to talk about the cast of the fish. So I'm going to read the names off, and it might refresh your memory of them. And here we go. We have Baron Barracuda. This fish, I think he wore a hat and wore a monocle. And he was from Europe. He had an accent. So I remember him. Also, this is the most famous character of all that a lot of people remembered. And I will tell you why he was so memorable. And his name was Trigger. And he was not a very smart guy. And he had an unlit cigarette in his mouth, on the side of his mouth. It wasn't lit, but that's what people remembered him about. You know, and he was not a very bright fish. So they remembered that as well. I did too. So, you know, once you think of Diver Dan, you don't think about Diver Dan. You think about Trigger. Okay. Also, there was Finley Haddock, Doc Sturgeon, Georgie Porgy. I don't know who that is. Gabby the Clam, Gillespie, Glowfish. There was Goldie the Goldfish, spoke only in peeps and squeaks. I remember her. Hermit Crab, Saw the Sawfish. I remember him. Scout Fish, Sea Biscuit, the Seahorse, and Skipper Kipper. So the theme song was, it says here, The Ballad of Diver Dan. And it was sung by the show's sound engineer. His name was Jack Skye. He sang the opening and closing theme song. So here's the opening theme song. It goes like this. Below in the deep, there's adventure and danger. That's where you find Diver Dan. The sights that he sees are surprising and stranger that you'll ever see on the land. Like that. That's cute. And the closing theme song was, he moves around creatures of frightening features, flashing teeth, slashing jaws, flapping fins, snapping claws. He protects and he saves. His friends are under the waves. That's where you'll find Diver Dan. Oh, it's funny. So there were about 104 7-minute live action shots, but you know, they combined episodes. So the episodes were really about 40 of them. They're on DVD if you can find them. You can find all the episodes if you're interested. But yeah, I don't have it, but I like to buy it. Yeah, I will buy that. And they're not in a particular order. So that's kind of weird like that. Also, there was some merchandise that Diver Dan had. There was only 2 issues of a comic book that was published by Dell Publishing. And that was released in February, April 1962. So that's a rare find. If you could find them on eBay or Amazon or any auction place or a comic book store. I don't know about a comic book store. Maybe. We'll see. You can find that. Also, there was a record album released in 1964. And the record producer, his name was Tony Piano of Columbia Records. He put on a children's album titled Diver Dan and the Bermuda Onion. And he wrote the story, the music, the lyrics. Oh, boy. And so that's very interesting. The names of the songs, there was the Diver Dan theme song. There was the tracks were A is for Apple, Onions Will Make You Cry, I'm the Toughest Creature of the Sea, We're on Our Way to Sally's, Otto the Octopus, Sally Seashell, They'll Never Catch Us Now, and That's Somebody Nobody Can Do. So that's on the album. So if you're interested in buying it, I heard it on YouTube once, so I might hear it again. So, it featured Kay Land and Del Close. They were founders of Second City Comedy Troupe in Chicago. They did that. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay. And there was also a board game released in 1961 for Milton Bradley. And this board game, let's see, I got to find it. Yeah, it was called Diver Dan Tug of War Game. You can find it on eBay. I found one that was almost, the first bid was $100. And it's in good shape. So if you're interested, you know, go ahead, bid for it. Oh, boy. Then I'll tell you about my memories of it. I remember watching, they showed this cartoon during the Ray Raider show and Friends. I remember seeing it. But not much. I remember on rerunning show, there was Bugs Bunny, and later on they showed the Batman cartoon. They showed Snagglepuss, you know, Yogi Bear, and but mostly it was Warner Brothers cartoons, but he did show Diver Dan. And so he showed maybe about 7 minutes, probably just one episode per day, I guess. You know, I don't know if he showed twice. I don't remember that. Maybe he did. I don't know if he was fond of that cartoon. According to some sources, not really, but the audience loved it. So I guess he stuck with it. And that ran about all through the 60s. I don't remember in the 70s. Not really. Maybe early 70s. I'm not sure. So if you're interested for a little nostalgia, you know, just pick up a DVD, watch Diver Dan, or watch it on YouTube. There are episodes there. Help yourself. Okay. So, right, next up, we're going to talk about the CT bus route 41 Elston Clybourne. And I'll be back in one moment. Thank you, everyone. Okay, everyone, I'm back. I'm going to talk about now the 41 Elston Clybourne route of the CTA. And I'll give you its history. This started in 1865. It was 41 Clybourne, not Elston. It was a horse car service. Only it ran from downtown to Larrabee Street in 1865. Then extended to North Avenue, Cortland, Fulton, Belmont, all the way until 1888. Then the horse car route converted to cable car between downtown and Fullerton on Clybourne in 1891. And then the electric streetcar service introduced just between Fullerton and Belmont, not downtown. And then in 1906, on October, the cable car segment converted to electric streetcar, which we know is the Chicago Service Line. Then in May of 1947, the streetcar converted to the bus that we all know today. And then the route combined with the north segment of the Elston route, which was number 55. Then it was 13 Elston route. It's a very interesting route. I'll talk about that in a second. So it combined and turned into the 41 Elston Clybourne route. And that discontinued in October 5th, 1997. So that was that. And the bus garage was at North Park and then at Forest Glen. So it was there in the North Park garage from 1950 to 57 and then Forest Glen from 57 to 97. So it was there for a long time, about 40 years. I like that. Interesting, you know. And the Elston route, first it was 55, that was route, and then turned into 13. It was renumbered in June 1959. The 55 went to Garfield. I think it was 6 Garfield, then it was 55 Garfield, and it was like 55 55th Street. And then that was gone, and now it's 55 Garfield, which it is today on the south side. And so the route 13 Elston, the bus route, discontinued on September 9th, 1973. Okay. So I'm going to tell the route of the Elston Clybourne. First, it was it started from Chicago and State Street in the beginning. And then it ran up to so it went from State to Chicago, Chicago Avenue, then to Larrabee, then to Larrabee to Clybourne, and then all the way down to where Clybourne ends, and that's at Belmont and Western, right where Riverview Park used to be. It's not there anymore, so that was a good route for anyone who, at the old days where you wanted to go to Riverview Park, you rode on a Clybourne route. Yeah, that's pretty good. Then it turned on Western, and then it went to Belmont, and then it went to Clybourne. No, it didn't. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Then it went to Elston, and it went all the way up north to Milwaukee Avenue by Superdog over there. I went there a couple times. I like that. So it turned at the bus turnaround on Miami Street in Milwaukee, near Devon Avenue, I believe. And was it Devon area? No, I'm sorry. It wasn't that. It was near Peterson. Yeah, it didn't do that. But Superdog was around that. It's around that area. It's still there. And because that's where the 56 Milwaukee bus route is there. Also, they had the 56A North Milwaukee. That's discontinued. So it's just 56 Milwaukee. And that was the turnaround. Then, I think in 1986, it was extended, not to Chicago State. It went to downtown. It went to the Loop. So after Chicago, it went to New Orleans and then went to Wacker Drive. Then it went to Lake Street, and then it just turned, and then it went to Clinton Avenue, and then it turned around to Van Buren, and then it went to Canal Street, then turned on right off to Wacker Drive and back to Orleans. So, and it's a very good route. It was a very good route, and I rode it a couple times. I was enrolled at DeVry Institute of Technology from 1983 to 1986, and the route I took there, I didn't drive at the time because I didn't have my own car from the South Side. So I took the Pulaski bus. That's where I lived on the near Daly College. Took the Pulaski bus. Sometimes I took the Express. This is before the Orange Line. They had the 99 Stevenson. Either you pick it up at Pulaski. Sometimes I went to Cicero and I took that. And it'll take you downtown. I got off at State Street and I took the Blue Line. Got off at any street that had access. Maybe Madison or Monroe. Anywhere. Hopped on the L. Took the Blue Line and went all the way north. Got off at Belmont and Kimball. And then I waited for the Belmont bus. You know, it's a far walk to go into DeVry, so I waited. A lot of people took that, but that's a busy station. Yeah, it's a very busy station indeed. Bus station, L station. Took this Belmont bus, got off at Campbell Avenue, one block west of Western Avenue, walked one block, and there it was. That was a DeVry, where Riverview Park was. So I did that for 3 years. But sometimes I experiment. I took the Clybourne bus. I don't know why. I just want to try it. I had some. There were days I got out early, maybe about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and so I figured, why not take the Elston Clybourne bus? So I waited for that. And believe me, when I took that bus route, it was long. So it took me a long time. And sometimes I took it downtown, but not really. So I got off at North Avenue, and I just took the L and go downtown and just took my bus routes to go to Southside. So I did that. I did that a couple of times. Right now, Clybourne Avenue has been changed over the years. In the 80s, it opened a big shopping center called 1800 Clybourne. It got a very yuppified neighborhood. That's what happened. There were some old factories. They closed them down. I think Turtle Wax was there, I think. Probably. I don't know. Someone mentioned Silver Cup was there. I don't know. Probably. It could have been. And they made this mall. It opened in 1989, I think. And that didn't last very long. So I'll talk about that mall about another episode. That's been closed. And so there's a lot of stores in that. It's called the Clybourne Corridor. But you need a car to drive, and they have parking garages, and still a nice area, very nice indeed. I had a friend who lived nearby a long time ago, and he told me it changed everything. It wasn't like that when he was growing up, so, and I haven't been there in a long time. So, like I said before, a lot of people want this bus route to return, because, you know, Clybourne is a very busy area. Some people don't want to drive. Maybe they like to take the bus over there, and you could. But I don't see that happening. No. I don't think so. Okay. That'll be all for today. Thank you for joining me. Excuse me, I had a cut off because I was coughing. I made a promise. I'll stick to it. So I talked about the Diver Dan TV show and also the Route 41 Elston-Clybourne bus route. Excuse me. So that was interesting to discuss with you. And the next episode will probably be about Saturday or Sunday. We'll see. This weekend, of course. Think of something interesting to talk about. And I get, one last thing before I sign off. I had a lot of feedback on last episode on Vanishing Conquering Stories about the defunct rides at Marriott's Great America, Six Flags. And it was amazing. You know, a lot of people remember the rides. There were some they didn't like at all. Some got injured, particularly the Iron Wolf. Oh, they got injured like that. Or the Shockwave, or also the Edge. Yeah, so those are gone. But some people said they liked Marriott's better than Six Flags. They liked it back in the old days. But, you know, that's everyone's opinion, their preference. And Six Flags still there in Gurnee. Yeah, so if you're interested in riding or the roller coaster or any rides, help yourself. It's still there. Okay. This is Pico Sanchez, your host for Vanishing Conquering Stories, the podcast. And thank you again for joining me. I hope everyone have a good day. And here's Ray Rayner with a little traveling music saying bye-bye for now and bye-bye for me. So take care, everyone. So long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.